Welcome to Novo Ed Talks, where we reveal real-world strategies and expert insights from learning and development professionals. In every episode, we chat with practitioners, course designers, learning strategists, and business leads. We hear about their experiences in the learning industry and predictions for the profession and the trends that they're seeing. But before we get started, a little bit about Novo Ed. Founded at Stanford's Social Algorithms Lab in 2012, Novo Ed is a people-centric, capability-building platform that combines social and collaborative learning to drive performance readiness at scale. Through cohort-based experiences centered around human interaction, Novo Ed taps into collective wisdom, placing each learner at the center of perspective, application, and expertise. Large enterprises such as 3M, GE, Marriott International, and Nestle partner with Novo Ed to accelerate their critical initiatives, reconnect teams, and achieve rapid alignment through learning that is felt, experienced, and swiftly transformed into impact. Now, let's meet our guest for today's episode.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Novo Ed Talks podcast, a space for training trailblazers to get real. My name is Melissa Fisk. I'm the producer of the Novo Ed Talks podcast, and today I am joined by Jane Cook, who is the Learning and Development / Knowledge Management Manager at Toyota Motor Sales. Jane has been in learning and development for several decades within multiple industries. She's certified professional in talent development by ATD. She has a master's of education with a specialty in learning technology. She's also certified in human performance improvement and assessment creation. She is also a certified life coach and hypnotherapist. Fascinated by all things, especially quantum physics and metaphysics. Jane, that is phenomenal. Thank you so much for joining Novo Ed Talks today.
Oh, you are welcome. I'm excited to be here.
Awesome. Well, why don't you start by just kind of introducing yourself, your role, and your company? And I'm hoping at some point we can get into maybe some references to quantum physics and metaphysics.
My grandkids call me the exotic grandmother, so because I won't let them call me weird. I work for Toyota Motor Sales. I actually work in the Brand Engagement Center, and we can talk a little bit about that in a moment with one of your other questions. But I am actually a very hard introvert. So people who know me, they're like, you're in learning and development. You get up in front of people and talk. But I put on my, facilitator hat when I do that. But I started out as an accountant, and I was kind of forced to go do some acquisition training for some companies one of my companies bought, and I just got hooked. So I came back and I said, no more payroll professional for me. So I became their acquisition manager. And then I got my master's, like you said, in education with an instructional technology background. So then I got my CPTD through ATD, Certified Professional in Talent Development, with the Association for Talent Development, the Learning Professional Organization. And I was a facilitator for a long time. Then I got my instructional design certificate, and we've gone from there. So yeah, I worked for Toyota Financial Services for about 14 years. In the last 3 years, I've been over in the Brand Engagement Center on the Toyota Motor Sales side. A lot of people don't realize just how huge Toyota is. So yeah, we got lots of things going on with Toyota, but I work at their headquarters in Plano, Texas. So
that's awesome. I'm always amazed by, some of these bigger organizations, just how much goes into all of the different departments and all of the processes and systems. It's definitely a lot, I feel like, to navigate. Could you talk a little bit about who some of your learners are and what are some of their biggest challenges?
Sure. So our primary audience with the Brand Engagement Center are our incoming phone reps. We are basically a phone center, call center. Now we're calling it a contact center because, of course, We are digital communications with our email and our social media and stuff like that. So, but our primary audiences are those incoming brand engagement advocates, and they answer the customer service phone lines for Toyota. So, we also serve Lexus, but my primary audience is the Toyota side. And they just really, they need to know what systems to use, what resources to go to, because there's a whole bunch of stuff that they are dealing with. And we get thousands of phone calls a month and thousands of different topics on each. I mean, people can call in for what color does your Tacoma come in to, I can't get my, Apple CarPlay to work with my, Camry. So how do you do that? So, and then of course we have our different experiences with, our some of our dealers and with, we get our biggest volume is technology. I mean, right now we no longer create cars, we create rolling computers. And
That's true.
so technology and multimedia are our highest call volumes. And so our reps need to know all the systems. We do not diagnose, that's what our dealers do, but we do have to know what they're talking about and what resources we can provide to them. And a lot of times it's, going back to the dealer. So, but they need to have those critical thinking skills so they know what path to take in assisting our customers. So.
Yeah, absolutely. So how do you approach kind of getting like how do you approach like solving that challenge of getting them these like the resources that they need or like teaching them how to have these critical thinking skills for these kind of challenges that come up?
Right. Well, we work in a natural environment like most everybody today. So we have our major resources is our CRM. So when the calls come in, they know who's calling and they know what vehicle they own. We can also see service histories and things like that. So those are the kinds of things. And we just offer training for that. We teach them how to look up everything from what the vehicle comes with to what features, and we have different programs like Remote Connect to all of our multimedia subscription services. We have our voluntary protection program, which is actually run through TFS, but we still know what they are and stuff like that. So we just use our technology, and we have a really good knowledge database. So if somebody's calling in for something like I mentioned, how do I do my Apple CarPlay? We go to knowledge and we can see, well, you do this and you do this and do you do this? So we have a really robust training, onboarding training for our new reps. And then we just keep, we have refresher trainings that I'll talk about in one of the other questions and everything. But, it's basically we work in a natural environment and we just keep our content fresh and mostly accurate.
Yeah. I'm sure it's hard to keep up with all the technological advancements in the vehicles and everything, like keeping resources fresh.
Yeah, and not only that, but of course we're Toyota, so we're known for Kaizen, which is continuous improvement. So even when things are working well, there's a little thing, and I will probably get it wrong. It's never best; it's only better.
Right.
So, yeah. So people are constantly changing things, and we're like, "Oh, yay!"
So much fun. With the rise of remote work and virtual collaboration, how has, your approach to learning and development for this specific program kind of adapted to ensure that employees are equipped with the right skills?
We were obviously pre-COVID all in-house. Well, that changed, like with everybody else in the world, that changed. So now we have a hybrid workforce, all of our phone reps really only need to come in the office when we have an event or something like that, or their team, their supervisors want the team in for some reason, everything else. So, leadership and support roles, we're in the office 3 days a week. But we require our new hires to come in. We have a 6 week program in class. That is split. It's a total of a 12-week program. And we have three phases of training. Like I said, they really have lots of resources and lots of systems they use. So we bring them into class for 3 weeks. Then they go on the phone for 2 weeks, come back into class for 2 weeks, go to the floor for 2 weeks, come back for a week, and then they're on their own. So with this phased approach, they need to be in the office for that entire 12 weeks. But then, and like in phase two, we send them home for a couple of days when they're on the phones just to make sure all of their equipment works and they know how to deal with everything virtually and remotely. And so it's working pretty well. Some people embrace it a little bit better than others, but that's with any kind of, learning function, so. But we used to have just a full 5 weeks in class and then put them on the phones. And it was too much. It was just too much. So now we've broken it up and we do the classroom phone. And it's working a lot better and people like it better. Although when they get on the phones and realize they're not going to, fall apart, getting them back in the classroom, like, oh no, we want to take more calls. And we're like, well, you need more information first.
That's good though. I'm sure it builds their confidence too, and that they can do it, and then they get another layer of training.
Yeah, it does. It does. So we do have our system set up where they get the easier calls. We don't take out, or we take out all the telematics, multimedia, a lot of the goodwill stuff. So, yeah.
Great. So, after your teams are kind of up and running or during this training process, how do you identify and address skills gaps within the program?
Okay. Well, that's the dreaded refresher training. So, bad word in many cases, but we kind of embrace it. So, and of course, being the center for Toyota, we have lots of people watching us all the time. So, we get a lot of trend reports, a lot of people monitoring our calls, assessing feedback. We have, of course, our customer satisfaction scores and things like this. So we get a lot of information from a lot of different sources. So once we get all that, and that's what my group does, is we take all of that and make sure that what we're doing is meeting the trends. Like we just recently implemented, I'm not sure if you're aware, but in the entire automotive industry, we had a shortage in some minerals that go into our smart keys. And so we've only been given one key for like the last year instead of two keys. And well, now everybody wants their second key. So we've been, we spend the last day of training listening to calls about second key, going over all of the, that we have a little chart to show when certain groups are getting their keys and stuff like that. So we've implemented the current events type things at the last day of training. But for just regular, like our telematics group sends out regular tech tips for all the telematics things we have. Our quality partners point out trends that we then address and everything else. And depending upon what the trend is or what the need is from the organization, we could either do a full-blown course. We can do short reminders, which I'll talk about in a minute in another question. Our knowledge database also has an announcement feature. So if something comes out that they need to know about right away, we put it in our knowledge database. And so the whole center sees when they go into our CRM. It pops up on their screen going, there's an announcement. So, that's That's what we do for the critical stuff that happens on a daily basis. But we
Right.
have kind of like we just did a knowledge fair. Battery electric vehicles are really the rage now. And, we want to make sure everybody understands charging and range anxiety and things like this. So we just did a knowledge fair for them. And so they went to different stations. We had a little scavenger hunt for them to look up stuff and everything else. So we try to keep it fun. And then, of course, with all our compliance and regulatory, we have annually learnings they have to take on things like privacy and customs and regulations and all that other good stuff. So we pretty much hit the gamut of addressing those gaps and, anything that comes up. So,
Yeah, absolutely. That's good. And like different approaches to it. I love that,
yeah,
for
we try to vary our offerings so people, if not get excited about it, at least they know they're not going to be wasting their time. So, but, we like to have fun. That's another thing. I really hope people embrace that learning should be fun. People retain stuff more if they're having fun. So,
absolutely. Absolutely. How do you currently measure the effectiveness of your programs, and do you have any core KPIs that you kind of track and measure?
well, of course, we're a call center, so we have KPIs all over the place. We have your standard ones, after call work, speed to answer, average handle time, all of that other guest satisfaction scores. We have all those KPIs. But remember, we are Toyota, so and we have a very clear mission and vision. So our mission is happiness for all, and our vision is mobility for all. So guest satisfaction is a huge thing in our center. So we're all about how we treat our customers. So we teach personality flexing. Not every caller, guest, we call them guests. Not every guest who calls in is going to have the same requirements as far as communication style or things like this. So we teach personality flexing. We have a Japanese term that is called omotenashi. And omotenashi just means it's the practice of putting guests at the center of our attention and anticipating their needs and giving them, hospitality beyond their wildest expectations. And we really try to live by that. And so a lot of our monitoring and a lot of our coaching are, go into how did you treat the guest? How did this not only how did this phone call go? And we don't want a 10-minute phone call to last 20 minutes or a 20-minute phone call to last 10 minutes. We even though we have their standard KPIs, there's always, I don't want to say exceptions because it's not really an exception. I guess it would be more of a standard that, we give the guests what they need and then some. It's always the plus one, what else can we do for them? So that's a lot of our KPIs. As far as for our learning, we have your standard Phillips thing. We have our level one course evaluation after each phase so we can see how, we're doing. And then we have the level two cognitive assessments after each phase as well to make sure that they're integrating the information and we don't need to, go back over any kinds of content that someone missed or something like that. And that gives us, too, the information that we can give to their supervisor, their floor supervisor, so they can continue coaching. So
Yeah, that's great. I like the mix of, different things. But I love what you kind of talked about, where it's like you have a company value that's like what you adhere to. And while you might have KPIs that you're tracking, like sure, you're always going to make sure first and foremost you're adhering to that like company value, which I think is difficult, I'm sure, to do from a management perspective, but super important, I think, for keeping
is,
everyone.
and it's always a balance, We're like, okay, we really want to have the guest have a low guest experience. We want to do the omotenashi, but we are still a contact center and we don't want 17 calls in the queue. We do have a service level, and we want to make sure, and our service level is pretty hefty. We want to have 80% answered within 30 seconds. So, and we're pretty good at it. We, you know, so that balance is always, you know, a tricky little thing to do, but I think we do it pretty well. So we have good guest satisfaction score.
Great.
So.
Can you share a successful case study or an example of a learning and development initiative that significantly impacted employee performance?
Oh yes, this was my favorite question. Yay. We have a thing called Hot Topics. And so once a quarter, we decide what can we do the biggest bang for our buck, you know? And so we create a really fun interactive session that follows a theme. So we've done things like Goodwill Blitz, telematics ninja training. And so we just finished up actually a Multimedia Master Olympics. Toyota is a worldwide sponsor of the Olympics. And since we're starting Paris next week, we decided that, and we needed multimedia training anyway. So we did a Multimedia Master Olympics. And we have five different multimedia services that we offer. And there's five Olympic rings. So we merged those two, and then we had they got to be a judge in the decathlon, and so we had like 10 different scenarios, and you know the high jump had this guest saying this, and we had three different we had North America because we're Toyota for North America. We had Mexico, Canada, and the United States all provide an answer, and then they got to be a judge, and you know they said, oh, we think Mexico has the best answer. And so we had a lot of fun with that one. And we did it for our supplier partners 2 weeks ago. We're getting ready to do it for our internal headquarters people in probably another 2 weeks. So we're looking forward to that. And sometimes it's just an hour. This one actually happened to be 2 hours long, because of just all the information we had to go over and everything else. So we try to keep it 2 hours or less. But it, like I said, it all depends on the content and what you're trying to do and what trends you're seeing and everything else. But this one was a fun one. We had fun doing that, and I think everybody enjoyed it. So that's my, and of course the calls improve, you know, afterwards. So that's always what's not to like. You have fun, performance improves, and there you go. So
Absolutely. And that's, you know, it's surprising that we don't, I haven't actually heard that as much on the podcast about like the importance of making the learning initiative like fun. Like it's such
yeah.
a like simple thing, but so important, I feel like, to just like be
Yeah,
human and
people can really get too serious about our industry. They're like, oh, we have this, and we have Phillips, and we have this, and we have that. And, you know, yeah, you know, and
I love
that's fine. And there's some things like compliance courses. I don't think I've
that.
yet taken a compliance course that was fun. But,
Sure. Yeah.
when you can do fun, why not do fun? People enjoy it and they learn more. So, anyway.
That's awesome. What role does technology play in your programs, and how do you leverage different tools and platforms? I know you mentioned you do a lot of actual like in-person, but is there different tech platforms that you all rely on?
Yeah, and of course, technology is the mainstay in everything we do. I'm sure that's the case for most people and everything else, but we do have a learning environment for our CRM. So they can practice creating cases, and we do mock calls and things like this. So, and it doesn't mirror our actual CRM 100%, but we get close. It's probably 97, 98%. So it allows us to have an environment where they can actually mimic what they're going to be doing when they start taking live phone calls and everything else. And we recently have gotten our own mini like learning management system. Of course, Toyota has a huge, very robust, very wonderful a learning management system, but that takes a lot of, approvals and testing and things like this. So we mostly have a lot of things that come up very quickly. Like we just produced a new Crown Signia is our new product, and we got the information on it like on a Thursday, and it was launching on the next Friday. So we had to do something very quickly. So we now have our own little learning management system, so we can be really ultra responsive to that. And then, of course, like I said, we have our knowledge database, and that's pretty much it. We do have some tools, like, we use Articulate and a couple of the other, like Reptivity. I'm probably not supposed to be, this is not an ad for anything, by the way, anyone. It's just the tools we use. And we have a supplier partner who's got some cloning technology that we're really looking at. And so we're hoping, and then with clone stuff, it wouldn't just mimic it with clone stuff. So that's very exciting. So we're looking into all of that. So
absolutely. Thinking about just the industry in general, the learning and development industry specifically in general, what do you think, obviously so much has changed over the past 5 years, but what are some key takeaways that you've seen?
Well, of course, it's all the agile methodology. I mean, Sam has pretty much replaced Addy. No more waterfall stuff, no more let's start here and 6 months later, see if it works. It's all agile technology. And and that's really good. And that's the way things probably should work, because you get really detailed information. I like to do pretty hefty analysis still, just because if you don't do your analysis, how do you know really what's working? But once the analysis is done, we do take an iterative approach. And I think that's, that's the biggest thing that is been an improvement in our industry in the last, especially the last 5 years. So, but you were talking about having fun. I would really like to see people have more fun, because like we've already mentioned several times, people learn easier. If they're having fun, they're not thinking about, oh, I have to remember this and I have to do that. It's just like, wow, this is great. Let's do this. So I think they integrate information easier if they're having fun doing it. So, and of course, we have people like Carl Kapp and Tiagi that helps with all of that, with the gamification and things like that. So hopefully, people embrace that a little bit more in the coming.
Absolutely. So obviously, looking forward, the reverse to this question,
yeah.
Having fun, we're hoping that continues, but what are some other trends that you see kind of shaping the future of L&D? Like, do you think there's emerging technologies or methodologies that you think are going to kind of shift the way we're doing things?
Oh, absolutely. Can you say ChatGPT? So, can
right.
you say generative AI? all of this stuff is very exciting, and just the natural flow of technology, the smarter we get, the smarter we want to be. And so I think that's all really good. I do worry that we are taking the human factor out of it a little bit. I think AI would be best served in creating like individual learning paths, you learn differently than I learn. I learn differently than, XYZ person learns. And individual learning paths are very exciting. And I know some of our technology does that, but I think AI can easily be programmed to address the specific needs of an individual. Give them no more one size fits all. Give exactly what you need in the fashion that you want it, at the rate that you want it, and can absorb it and everything else like that. So I'm very excited about that. What I'd like to see is our industry leaning into more of a learning community style. I think that social learning is extremely underappreciated and underutilized. The innate information within any master's brain is just so valuable, and I don't think we take advantage of that as much as we should. I'd like to see more use of even like the old lunch and learns, peer panels, maybe internships or apprenticeships come back. I don't think that we should go back to the medieval times of where, the only way you learn is, study with somebody for, 10 years before you can do it. But maybe a little bit more mentorship about, different topics and things like that. So I really hope that the social learning aspect of our industry becomes a little bit more utilized, I guess is the best word. So, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually think that it's funny that you mentioned like lunch and learn because I feel like I've actually seen at more organizations that become more of a thing again, especially organizations that are like very remote because it's like, okay, you don't have that like maybe you know, like connection at lunch together, like with someone like in an office environment where you can like hear about what someone in a different department is kind of like doing or whatnot. So it's funny that you mentioned that just because I've actually seen that at different organizations come back a little bit
Oh,
stronger.
that's
Like,
good. Yeah.
so yeah, I agree with all of
And think
that.
about all the opportunity you give for somebody just to really shine, and
Yeah.
people who are, excited about what they do, they communicate that excitement to your learners. So, not to all learners, of course, but somebody talking about like people talk about me. I love what I do. I think you can tell I'm really passionate about learning and development. And so when I talk about it, people tend to go, "Oh, wow, really? Oh, yeah." When you get someone presenting a topic or something that they truly love, you get a lot more than their knowledge. But then that goes back to my quantum physics and metaphysics and energy.
Absolutely. As a fun send-off, especially as someone who loves learning and development so much, what advice would you give to those just stepping into a leadership role?
Don't buy into the hype. Like I said before, do your due diligence. Find out what your audience really needs and wants. If that is an e-learning, great. If that's a micro-learning, fantastic. If that's an AI-generated learning path, great. But if it's not, don't force it. Just because somebody has told you they've invented the next best way to make learning easy, simple, and cheap, don't just go for it. Do your due diligence. Look at your audience, look at your content, look at your culture, look at your technology. A lot of people, like I remember, everybody's going into e-learning. E-learning's this, e-learning's that. A lot of people didn't have like, the software tools to build it or the LMS to host it. Look at what is going on. I just recently, actually, with my team, I forced them to look at, because we do have we do have in person. So I had each one of my trainers create three different games that they can play during training. And it's all hands-on. It's very low tech, and people are like, wow, low tech. But they had fun. We now have this big, one of my trainers bought this deck of cards. It's like 2 feet by 3 feet. They're like poster size playing cards. And he put different questions on it. If you get the question right, you get the card. And then at the end, the person who has the best poker hand from the cards they won get a little prize or something. Things like this are very low tech, but they really add interest and get people involved in stuff. So if that's what your culture likes, fine. Would that game work for somebody who's in a high tech industry or something? Absolutely not. So, really get to know your audience and what turns them on, and makes them excited about their learning. So.
That's great. Jane, thank you so much for being a guest on the Novo Ed Talks podcast today. I think you had some really, really great tidbits to share with our audience, and they're really going to enjoy it.
Thank you. I really enjoyed it. So thank you for having me.
Awesome.
And go out and buy a Toyota or Lexus. No.
Love that. Got to get that in there. Thank you again, Jane. And thank you to our listeners for once again tuning into the Novo Ed Talks podcast.